Next up, we've got Tino's going to be talking about Immutable All the Way Down. Take it away.
Hey, folks. Thanks for joining the Container Dev Room at FOSDEM. So I have a few live demos, and those demos are downloading a lot of stuff. I tried in the previous talk back there, and it worked like 50% well. But you know, if one of the demos gets delayed, I'm going to just go to the next one. All of the demos are automated, so you'll be able to download them from a repo. Also, if any one of you in the audience is like leeching stuff over Wi-Fi, please stop. It's going to break my demos. Hi. I'm Tilo. I'm a maintainer of Flatcar Container Linux. I have a GitHub presence. I'm on Mastodon, or you can drop me an email. I usually talk about operating systems, kind of a regular in the container dev room, actually, container-optimized operating systems that don't get in the way of your workloads. But today, I'm going to climb one level up, and we're going to talk about cluster plumbing. And that is how we kind of envision shipping Kubernetes and your Kubernetes operator as an immutable image that includes basically all of the bits and pieces that you need, including configuration, basically all of the static stuff. This allows us to separate Kubernetes from the operating system, which has a number of benefits. It's easier to use. You have separation of concerns, and I have slides on that later. But it also enables, like, very easily, straightforward, live-in-place updates. All right. Before we start, my last demo will be Cluster API, and holy shit, this is small. That usually takes a little longer to initialize. So I'm going to deploy my cluster API cluster right now, and that looks good. All right, so this is using the cluster API Azure provider, and that's because I work there, and I get to use it for free. I'm not trying to get you to use Azure. This is zero cost for me, so that's why I'm using an Azure deployment here. All right, anyways, let's start. So I said we're shipping this as immutable images, and we're using a format there that's called extension images. It really has like a full-blown specification. You can go there, you can click there, basically read all of that. There's at least one implementation that's using this specification, and it basically allows you to wrap application binaries, application supplementary files and static configuration in an immutable file system image that only consists the bits that you want to ship. This immutable image will be merged into your root operating system file system, usually at boot, but it can happen at any point in time that you choose. And there's a nice tie-in with an update mechanism called systemd sysupdate. That update mechanism also works on single files, and if that file happens to be a sysext system extension, then you'll basically get these in-place updates. So inside of an extension image, as mentioned, you just spread your binaries the way you want to find them in your root file system after merging. If you want to start services or use configuration files that don't need much changing, you include it in the sysx as well. Maybe some wrapper scripts to get stuff started or bootstrapped. And you can include systemd units there, so services are being started at the point in time where stuff is being merged. Just to reiterate on how this looks on your node, so imagine you ship Kubernetes in an image, then it would basically contain this directory tree, a little shortened here, with the Kubernetes binaries, some startup files. And so this is going to be merged into whatever your root operating system file system is, and it will end up basically looking like, it's kind of an overlay, so it looks like as if both paths, both binaries, always existed in your rootfs. All right. Now, you got your extension image, and how do you even get it on the node? For those demos, I'm going to use Flatcar, which can be instructed via YAML configuration to do provisioning time downloads. And in this example, the first example I'm going to show, I'll download from, interestingly, a GitHub releases page, a Kubernetes sysext, and put it on my node. And this is what's going to look like. And this is the first demo, and you'll see how well the Wi-Fi works. All right. So, can you folks read that?
Yeah.
It's much smaller here. Sorry. So this is slightly different, and that's why I'm bringing it up again. I will drop the extension file here, which is an entirely custom path. The implementation I'm using on the node systemd sysx is not aware of that path. And the reason I do that is because I want to make it aware manually so I can show you around before the whole thing is being merged. Okay, so this is the point where things get exciting because the download starts now. All right, so it took like more than a minute when I was sitting there during the previous talk. I hope this will be faster, but I can, you know, bridge the time by checking on my cluster API. Stuff. Oh, yeah, stuff is being provisioned. So cluster API generates this stuff for you automatically, so you get a fully operational cluster. It's still downloading. Oh, wow, 30 seconds. Okay, that's good. I'm going to deal with that. All right, so as said, this is now... Actually, let me... this. This has been downloaded to a custom path. It's just a file there. Since this is a file system image, I can just go ahead and mount it. Okay. So if you look at mount now, you see there's basically kind of like a file system structure. If you do this recursively, you'll see that this isn't a full-blown file system. It literally only contains the stuff I need to run Kubernetes. And so two things might be interesting in particular. If I can find my shortcuts here. The first is we ship unit files. So, you know, the whole thing starts up as soon as the sysx becomes operational. And we ship metadata, extension metadata that tells sysx what to do. And in this case, it just says that it will run on any operating system, basically any distribution version. It doesn't have any dependencies on the actual operating system image. It's got it's built for the x86 64 architecture, and it tells the service manager to please reload all of the service configurations as soon as this is merged. And we need to do that because we ship systemd units, and we want these units to activate. So if I now make systemd aware of this by symlinking it into a directory that systemd sysx is aware of, then it'll pop up in the sysx list, and you see a number of sysx here, and the reason for that is Flatka uses sysx for a lot of stuff, not just for Kubernetes, and the extension's right here. It's not active yet. It's basically staged, but not activated. So if I check for Kubernetes binaries in USR, there are none. If I check for the kubelet version, then the binary is not being found. And if I ask Journal Cuddle what it knows about kubelet, it doesn't know anything. I will now merge the thing. And that's usually what happens at boot, right? And as soon as this is merged, multiple things happen. First of all, we actually have kubelet in the local file system. I forgot the bin. No, the demo effect. Okay, we have Kubernetes binaries in the file system, and Journal Cuddle knows about it, and Kubelet is just crying into the log right now because it didn't come with the configuration, so it can't join any clusters. But it's there. It's being executed. The service starts. So learning from the previous waiting period, I'll start my next demo right away. So it's ready when I need it. All right, so this was basically a single node demo. That's image-based way of provisioning stuff. And the only relation to Kubernetes is, well, it's being used, it's used in Kubernetes SysX. There's no cluster yet. Before we go to that, we'll look into in-place updates. And that works on the file system image as well. So as I mentioned, there's a complementary service called SysUpdate. SysUpdate can be configured to update any given image. It is semantic versioning aware. And all it needs to consume images from is an HTTPS endpoint with kind of an index file in it, with sharsums in it, so it knows what files are available. It knows what files are in the local file system. It checks regularly that HTTPS endpoint for new versions matching the semantic versioning pattern. And it also is symlink aware. So it basically can update the symlink that I used to make my my personal SysX store known to systemd SysX, and it'll update that. So basically both put together allows some kind of GitOps, and that's what we're doing with the SysX bakery, in which you can regularly or on demand build or rebuild SysX, publish them as GitHub releases, and then instruct your node configurations to just go there, check for updates, and download and stage updates as soon as new updates become available. All right. So this is a single node SysUpdate demo, and we have booted. So I learned from my previous mistakes. This is slightly further automated in that in this configuration, we do a little more stuff. We create the symlink, so this is basically merged already when the node boots, we add a configuration for SysUpdate, so that SysUpdate is aware of that file, aware of the endpoint where it consumes new versions from, and basically manages all of these updates for us. The one thing we don't do is we don't start SysUpdate because that's my demo. So. Here we are. So we have Kubernetes installed, we have Kubelet again crying in its log because it came without a config. The SysX is merged. And there and we have basically provisioned the SysX and activated the SysX, and we now want to update it. Here's our custom SysX store. And that has a single file in it, and that was the file the whole system was provisioned with. And the symlink in etc extensions, where systemd SysX looks for its extensions, points to the 131.3 version. Now I'm going to start systemd SysX manually. Usually that will be done That went fast. That's usually being done by a timer unit. So you would set up a timer unit appropriately to start this. I of course need to start systemd SysUpdate and not systemd SysX. That was running all the time. Sorry for that. Okay, so we start systemd SysUpdate. That'll take a bit longer because it doesn't go into the background when downloading new updates. I made sure that it has an update to find because I want to demo something, right? So that's happening right now in the background. It just goes there, and this is the same kind of waiting period that we have when we started the instance. It's usually faster